لا إله إلا الله. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحابته ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فقال الله تعالى في القرآن الحكيم: الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفس ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب. Praise be to Allah. As we praise Him, we seek His help, guidance, forgiveness and His mercy. We seek refuge in Allah from the bad that is inside us, as we seek His refuge and protection from our bad deeds. Know then, one who is guided by Allah, they are truly guided. One who is left to go astray will not find a guide or a protector or a helper after that. And I bear witness that there is no God but the one true God, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all that is between them. He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is his slave and messenger. Before I carry on, brothers, if we could stand up in this hall, certainly. I see lots of gaps. For those who are able to stand, look to the front and the sides and please fill them. Make room for our brothers at the back. Barakallahu feekum. This is the Mawsum of Hajj, the season of Hajj. And in a few days' time will be the start of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. This is a blessed time, but it's not a blessed time only for the Hujjaj. Blessed time is coming for the whole of the Muslim Ummah. But as regards to Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for the Hajj, its months have been prescribed and are known. Ashuru ma'lumat. Whoever intends and makes a resolve to Hajj therein, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوكَ وَلَا جِدَالَ, then they should not speak indecently, neither take part in the intimate marital relationship, neither misbehave with bad behavior, وَلَا فُسُوكَ وَلَا جِدَالَ, and neither be quarrelsome during the Hajj. وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ, and whatever all of you do of good, then Allah surely knows it. وَتَزَوَّدُوا, so prepare for it. Prepare for the journey. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Often we forget that the best of those provisions for the Hajj is taqwa. Taqwa. Before you go, actually, yeah, be mindful of Allah. Being mindful of Allah in the preparation of the journey and on the journey before the Hajj actually starts. وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, so be mindful and in awe of me, Allah saying, O you people of wisdom and understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, and for people, the obligation of Hajj is upon them for Allah to the house, the pilgrimage to the house, for those who are able to carry it out. مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, for though, and that covers health, wealth, and siha, yeah, the ability to be able to do that. And whether you get the visa, of course, is included in that. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. And whoever rejects, and here kafara can mean disbelieves, but also reject the idea of doing the Hajj. For surely Allah is above all need, independent of all His creation. This is for you, the Hajj to the house. The Prophet ﷺ said in many ahadith, and I mentioned some in regards to the Hajj itself, although that's not the main purpose of the khutbah today, but as a reminder for those who are planning to go and those who are planning to go this year or in future years. But the Prophet ﷺ said in hadith in Bukhari Muslim, Al-umrah ila al-umrah kaffaratun lima baynahuma wal-hajjul mabrur laysa lahu jazaa illa al-jannah. Prophet ﷺ said, from umrah to umrah is wiping out of sins between them both. And for the Hajj Mabrur, وَقَالَ النَّوْوِي Al-Mabrur يَعْنِي لَا إِثْمْ فِيهِ. That Hajj, which is done properly without sin, without misbehaving, the only reward for that is paradise. No other reward except paradise. And the Prophet ﷺ said, in another hadith, that وَأَنَّ الْحَجِّ حَدِيثٌ طَوِيلٌ الَّذِي رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمٌ عَنْ عَمْرِ بْنِ الْعَاسِ. It's a long hadith. Part of it, he said, وَأَنَّ الْحَجِّ يَهْدِمُ مَا قَبْلَهُ. And surely Hajj wipes away all that came before, all that went before. Yeah. Amazing tidings for in regards to Hajj, and that means big and small sins, brothers and sisters. Yeah, that's the Hajj. Man hajja, falam, kama rawahu al-Bukhari wa Muslim an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qal, man hajja, falam yafsuk, walam yarfus. Raja'a ka yawmi waladatu ummu, which is a famous hadith, all of you know. Whoever does the Hajj doesn't do any misbehavior during the Hajj, yeah, and doesn't get involved in abusive language, yeah, foul words and things, then for they return from Hajj as though it's the day that their mother gave them birth. They come back innocent, everything being wiped away. It's amazing, glad tidings for those who are planning to do Hajj, those who have done Hajj. But the season of Dhul Hijjah has relevance to us as well, brothers and sisters. كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث الذي رواه البخاري ومسلم عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما العمل في أيام العشر أفضل من العمل في هذه. وقالوا ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله يا رسول الله. قال ولا الجهاد إلا رجل خرج يخاطر بنفسه وماله فلم يرجع بشيء. Famous hadith which I mentioned before in years, and a reminder for those who've listened before and those who've not heard before, that the Prophet ﷺ said there is no good deeds in a 10-day period. In a 10-day period, better than these 10 days. And he means the first part of Dhul Hijjah, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, which is in about 4 or 5 days' time. It's beginning, and I remind us so we can take benefit from it. They said, not even jihad in the way of Allah. And in this case, they meant somebody putting their life at risk, going out in defending the believers and the lands, yeah, from being attacked. Not even that. He said, not even that. Except a person who puts their life and their wealth at risk in going out to do that, and they don't come back with anything. In other words, they're shaheed. Only that is better. Subhanallah. That's amazing encouragement to do good deeds in these 10 days as we approach Eid al-Adha from the beginning of Dhul Hijjah. What good deeds? Well, it covers all good deeds. But here, some people reduce good deeds to just ibadah. It includes ibadah. Of course, we don't say don't do dhikr. It doesn't mean doing nawafil and tatawwa or staying awake in the night or part of the night or fasting. All of it is included in amal salih, isn't it? But amal salih isn't just that you do ibadah and then you come out of the mosque or out of your prayer or your fasting and you misbehave with people. Yeah? Your talk is foul, you're lying, you're cheating, not kind with parents, not good with children, not kind and considerate with others, not forgiving, not merciful. All that is part of good deeds, making greater effort, giving as well. All of that is in good deeds. Some people said, oh, you can't fast in these days. Why? They said, because as is reported in Sahih Muslim from Ummul Mu'mineen, Aisha radiallahu anha, qalat, مَا رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ صَائِمًا فِي أَشْرِ الْحِجَّةِ قَطُّ. I never saw the Messenger of Allah in these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah ever fast. Ever fast. So some people came to the conclusion, oh, well, that means you can't fast. She hasn't. Ummul Mu'mineen hasn't said that. She didn't say that the Prophet ﷺ said you can't fast in these days. She's saying, she didn't say he never fasted. She said, I never saw him. Well, he didn't spend all his time with Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, did he? That's why ulama say, that doesn't mean he didn't fast. And it certainly, even if he didn't, it doesn't mean that the general hadith of Abdullah Abbas is being contradicted because good deeds are being encouraged and fasting is part of it. So there's no contradiction, but don't be confused by that. Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radhiyallahu anha, she said in authentic hadith, she said, مَا رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ يُسَلِّي صُبَحَةُ الدُّحَى وَإِنِّي لَا أُسَبِّحُهَا. I never saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pray Salatul Duha. And they have many hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his qawl encouraging the praying of Salatul Duha. Yeah. But she never saw him pray it. And she says after that, and I definitely pray it, Salatul Duha. What's that telling you? Just because she didn't see doesn't mean to say that you don't do it. That hadith, and she said, carries on saying, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sometimes didn't do deeds that he loved to do, which were nawafil or extra for reward. Yeah, he feared that if everybody started doing it, they might become fard. And that is advice even to imams. Yeah, to even in voluntary things, don't keep doing it. So the people behind you think, oh, it's obligatory. Must be, because imam's always doing it. It's advice in that regard. Anyhow, hadith, there is another hadith of Hunayda, which is in Abi Dawood, which many hadith critics, or some hadith critics, said it's a week in which it is mentioned from the wives, some wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kana nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yasum tis'a dhil-hijjah. Tis'a dhil-hijjah wa yawma ashura. وَثَلَاثَةَ مِنْ كُلِّ شَهْرٍ. This hadith is in Abi Dawood. Sheikh Albani, rahimahullah, said it's sahih. And you can follow that opinion, that's fine. Others said, like my teacher, it is a weak hadith. But whether it's sahih or whether it's weak, I've already given you the argument. You don't need this hadith, which says that the Prophet ﷺ used to fast the 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah. 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah, obviously not Eid day. And obviously not at Hajj. All that's implied. And the day of Ashura and 3 days from a month. Yeah. But again, if we don't need the hadith. If it's authentic, it's fine. What we need to be wary of is a hadith in Ibn Majah that some people wrongly misunderstand. And it is very weak. It is not authentic. This hadith says that the fast of each day of these 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah, each fast you do is like for each day a reward as though you fasted the whole year. So in 9 days, it's like you've done 9 years of fasting. And then it says each night you stay up is the reward each night of Laylatul Qadr. This is total exaggeration. Yeah, you don't even get that reward in Ramadan. Some people, beyond that, went and said these 10 days are better than any 10 days in Ramadan. And I've said this before, they can have that opinion. I have great respect for those imam who have that opinion. I don't trounce them and say they are this and they are that. But really, it's a weak opinion, because here are voluntary deeds and there is Ramadan, which is compulsory fasting. There's no doubt the Prophet ﷺ fasted. There's no doubt the Prophet ﷺ was the most generous person that lived, and he became most generous in Ramadan when he used to meet Jibreel. We don't hear that about the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And the Prophet ﷺ stayed awake all in the last 10, stayed awake during the night, woke his family as well. We don't hear that in regards to. So you can't compare. There's no need to compare the two. This is fadail and fadila, extra. If you don't do any extra good deeds in these 9 days before Eid, are you sinful? No. But if you are able to fast in Ramadan and you don't fast, then you are sinful. The big difference. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه الغفور الرحيم استغفر الله الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها الإخوة. Now comes to the issue of الأضحية قرباني. The idea of qurbani, because udhiyah is to bring you qurb, to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what its purpose is. Yeah? And following the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam and of the final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the idea of udhiyah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. It's not the blood, or its flesh that reaches Allah of the sacrifice. It's the taqwa with which you're doing it that's reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in rewards. And of course, the idea isn't it sacrificed and just thrown to one side and wasted, is it? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Eat from it, feed others, and store it to eat later." Yeah, some ulama took from that because he mentioned all these things. A third of it to eat yourself, a third to give to others, and third to store away. The Prophet ﷺ never said that. This is ulama just giving their views. Actually, what he's saying, you can do any of these things with it. You can eat, feed others. Of course, you get more reward if you're able to feed others. Yeah, and store it to eat later as well. Put it in the freezer and have it for the coming weeks. That's all fine. But the idea is the taqwa. Yeah. The idea, it's symbolic of the willingness to sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which was perpetuated by Rasulullah sallam and commemorated by him sallallahu alayhi wasallam for the ummah, for us to come. Yeah, that I am willing to sacrifice even my son. I am willing to therefore sacrifice opinions which are cultural, the opinions I might have had all my life or culture I've been living by, go against my mates. You who might be doing other things, to stand firm on my principles and my deen and not to leave it. Yeah? Not to leave it. So the spirit of sacrifice is the idea of al-udhiyah. And of course, part of it is giving to others as well. It is not to be replaced by just giving a financial donation. And folks, we have now available charity organizations where we can send it as a donation, but it's specifically for a sacrifice done in your name. And then the meat being given and distributed into lands where poor people who don't even get to eat meat once a year compared to what we do. Yeah. But the idea is still udhiyah. Not just I'll give a general donation to poor people of 120 quid and that's it in compensation. No, send it specifically for udhiyah. As far as it is mustahab, majority of ulama quite rightly say it is highly recommended. Highly recommended. Great rewards in it. All the hadith that you come across, and they're always circulating on the internet, as Ibn al-Arabi al-Maliki said famously, he said, there is no single hadith which is authentic to do with the virtues of doing the sacrifice. All of them are very weak or munkar, rejected. Yeah. But we don't need them. You don't need to bring false hadith to try and encourage people. And some of them are like, The sheep will come on the day with its horns and its wool and etc. As compensation for you, giving rewards for you. And the reward is with Allah written before even the blood falls on the ground. Each hair on its wool will be rewarded, giving us a reward to you in compensation. For each limb of the sheep or the animal that you sacrifice, your limb will be saved from the fire. All of those are hadith which are not authentic to the Prophet ﷺ. Yeah. But does that mean that there's no encouragement to do udhiyah? Well, I've already said we don't need this to say that it's mustahab, because that's the sunnah and way and encourage. Hanafiya said it is wajib, obligatory to do that for those who are able to, of course. They don't mean wajib and those who can't. And which is fine if you want to follow that. Yeah. There's a hadith which is mentioned, Ibn Majah, which is very weak, which says, whoever has the ability, man kana lahu sa'a, walam yuzbih, walam yuzbih, fala yaqrabanna musallana. Whoever has the ability to give a sacrifice and they don't do it, then they shouldn't come to our Eid prayer. So Muhaddithin said, actually, this is not authentic. Yeah? It can be the statement of the, at best it's the statement of Abu Huraira, who didn't like the idea of who had people had ability. But it's certainly not from the Prophet ﷺ. Also doesn't make sense, because you do the udhiyah after you've done Salatul Eid. Not before, isn't it? So one who hasn't done udhiyah, sacrifice, don't come to the prayer. Well, he can't do it. None of us have done it when we come to Salatul Eid. So Salatul Eid's first, then you go and get the sacrifice done. So anyway, it is highly recommended and with great reward in it to commemorate that the idea of Udhiyah. Let me briefly mention a couple of things. I haven't really got time because the hadith from Salama, wife of the Prophet ﷺ, which says, إِذَا دَخَلَ عَشْرِ الْحِجَّةِ فَأَرَادَ أَحْدُكُمْ أَنْ يُدَحِيَ فَلَا يَأْخُذَنَّ مِنْ شَعْرِهِ وَلَا مِنْ ظُفْرِ شَيْءٍ أو فَلْيُمْسِكْ عَنْ شَعْرِهِ وَأَظْفَارِهِ. When the 10 days of Hajj arrive, if any of you are planning on, and that's the idea again for Arada, if you are intending to, it gives the idea of that it's up to you, to sacrifice, to give sacrifice, then let them not take anything from the hair and from the nails. Yeah? Not cut the nails, not take from the hair, until the udhiyah is done. Then came another hadith, which is also in Muslim. This one's in Sahih Muslim, and this is in Muslim as well, where from al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, Kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yuhdi al-budan min al-madinati ila al-haram. Yeah, وَبَعْثَهَا مَعَابِي. So the Prophet ﷺ, in the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, Abu Bakr did the Hajj. So a hadith mentioned the Prophet ﷺ sent some of his sacrificial animals and camels with Abu Bakr, who did the Hajj, who led the Hajj in the 9th year of Dhul Hijjah. And Aisha radhiyallahu anha said, وَأَنَا أَفْتَلُ الْقَلَائِدِ. Yeah. And she said, I intertwined and knitted the garlands to put on the animals. And the Prophet ﷺ put those garlands on and marked these animals and sent them, yeah, for sacrifice to be done at the haram. And she said, yeah, and he didn't stay away from anything which the muhrim, the ones doing umrah and hajj, stayed away from. It is those doing Hajj and Umrah who don't cut their hair and nails when they are in Ihram. So al-Mu'mineen saying he didn't do any of that. So now you seemingly have contradiction of two wives of the Prophet ﷺ, both of these in Sahih Muslim, and that's where I say to you often, Sahih Muslim and the books of Hadith are not for lay people to read, to study. You're going to be confused. What are you going to do with them? It's not going to benefit you in any way to find two hadith which seemingly contradict each other. And ulama have long discussion about this. I'm not going to go into it. I haven't got time. Perhaps the best opinion that you can come from that is bringing the hadith together. Some people weakened one hadith. Others did other things. Ahmad ibn Hanbal said it is haram to take from the hair and nails, for example. But Hanabila, some of them went with the majority, which was the Hanafiya, the Shafiya, the Malikiya, all went with the idea. A best you can take by bringing these hadith together is to take from the hair and nails is perhaps disliked, but only for the one who's doing the udhiyah with their own hand. Not for the rest of the family to go through that. Yeah. Yeah, and I say either that at best, or if the other thing is mansukh. Yeah, it's been abrogated, because what happened with the ninth year is the latter part of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the hadith of Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radhiyallahu anha, that he didn't do anything as such. So I wouldn't worry too much about it. Even those who said it's haram to take the hair and nails if you're planning here to do udhiyah, they never said that you won't get the reward if you do go and do it. Yeah. So, last thing, takbirat. Takbirat, I mention it now because when we get to Eid day, you know, takbirat have already started, have they not? Yeah. Hanabila have the opinion, quite rightly, which is all. Why the difference of opinion? Because nothing came from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, certainly not from the Quran, nothing from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the precision on when the takbirat should be done. Hence, we have loads of opinions. Yeah, you have, for example, Abu Hanifa saying they start on the fajr of the ninth of Dhul Hijjah of Yawmi Arafah. Yeah. And they end at Dhuhr on the day of Eid. But his two immediate students, Muhammad ibn al-Shaybani and Abu Yusuf, they went with the opinion of Umar bin Khattab, Ali radiallahu anh, and of other scholars. They went with the opinion, Ibn Qunama from Hanabila as well, which is perhaps one of the most popular opinions, but you can't say anything fixed about any of them, which is to start on the fajr of Yawmi Arafah, to start doing the takbirat, and to finish on the 13th day of Dhul Hijjah at Asr time. Yeah. That's what popularly people do. But the Shafi'i and Maliki have said, yeah, they're limited it to less than that. Yeah, they start and they finish at the fajr on the 13th day, not at Asr. So all this variation, because even the Sahaba varied in this. Yeah. Ibn Umar, Abu Huraira, it is documented, used to do takbirat of what we do at Eid during all these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah in the marketplaces. So if anybody's doing it in any of these days and misses a day, doesn't do it according to that day or that day, know that this season of the 10 days that you're doing good deeds, it's fine, brother and sister, do takbirat. Yeah. Anytime. It's remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. Yeah. And it's voluntary, it's rewarded. So no need to get too much hung up on which opinion to follow. If you know the opinion of a particular mazhab that you follow and you follow it, absolutely fine. Any of them, absolutely fine. That's it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to benefit from these coming 10 days and give us the tawfiq to do Amal al-Salih. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to do amal as-salih throughout our lives. Forgive us our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the hajj and make it hajj al-mabrur for those who are planning to do the hajj now or in coming years. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give forgiveness to those who have already done the hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the whispers of shaitan and keep us always on siratul mustaqim. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون قوموا إلى الصلاة يا إخوة